Well, good evening. It's good to see some of you back from earlier today. And we'd get our Bibles open straight away to Proverbs chapter 2. If you need a Bible, please put your hand up, and there's stewards poised to come and bring you one. And we're in Proverbs chapter 2, which is on page 636. Proverbs chapter 2, and we're reading the whole chapter. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. And this is God's word to us this evening. And just before we turn back there, let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words which you've caused to be written down. You've caused them to be written down for our good. And so we pray that as we listen to them this evening, that we would learn from them, that you would teach us great things. Father, as we come and as we sit under your word, please forgive us this week from where we haven't listened to you. Father, please correct us and show us our Lord Jesus in these chapters. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to help us this evening, I've got two words that's going to help us understand Proverbs chapter 2. Okay, you ready? Word number one is search, and word number two is rescue. So search and rescue. And just for the visual learners among us, I've got a couple of items. So for search, this is a magnifying glass. This is the best I could find. So search and rescue. Okay, this isn't mine, by the way, just in case you're wondering. But these two words are going to help us to understand Proverbs chapter 2. Search and rescue, or the objects you can draw down in your notes. Now, by search and rescue, I want you to imagine someone who searches for something that will rescue themselves as well as others. So it's not so much a picture of a lifeboat out at sea trying to find someone to rescue. It's more the Avengers going back in time to search for Infinity Stones in order to rescue the world. And in case you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can imagine a lady who's searching her home for a lost will in order to rescue the family estate to which she belongs. So there are our two words, search and rescue. See, in the first chapter of Proverbs, the father who's speaking to his loved son personifies wisdom as one calling out in the street. It's fighting to be heard. Here in Proverbs 2, what we've just read is the wise father urging his son to search for wisdom that will rescue him. So chapter 1, wisdom's calling out. In chapter 2, the son is urged to go after wisdom, to call out for it, to make every effort to obtain wisdom in order that he may be safe, in order that he would make good choices about what paths to walk down in life and what paths to avoid in life. So tonight, as we listen into the Father's call to search for wisdom that will rescue us, let's engage with it. Let's tune into it and listen to what he has to say. So get your notepads ready, and let's learn and apply what we hear. And firstly, we're going to look at the first six verses. And we'll see there's a search, there's a call for searching for wisdom. So let me just read verses 1 to 6 again. And as I do, just listen out for the number of commands that there are to do something. So let me read 1 to 6 again. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Did you spot, did you hear those kind of imperative verbs it's called? It's lots of commands. They build and build through those verses, don't they? Stressing that this is no half-hearted plea from the father to his son to look for wisdom. No, this call is serious. He is to work hard for wisdom, to call loudly for it, and to look everywhere for it. So just look down at verse 1 again. So he's told to accept words and store up the commands. Scroll down to verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. See, notice the starting point for wisdom is in listening to the wise king. It's in accepting his words and storing up his commands. So you picture the scene. The son's at home, he's watching the TV, the father walks in, mutes the sound on it, and he says, son, look, listen to what I have to tell you. Take hold of my words, which are wisdom for you. Listen to them, receive them, and then store them. Keep hold of them, don't let them go. And then in the verses in between, to 2 to 4, he just adds layer and layer, more pictures to expand on this thought, to illustrate what he means by accepting and storing up these commands. So let's just look very quickly at each. So verse 2, he commands him to turn your ear to wisdom. He's saying whatever else you're searching for or wherever else you think wisdom is, don't look there. Turn your ear to me. Listen to the true wisdom. Listen to the words of the wise king, your father's speaking to you. Once this ear is turned and he's listening, and these words have reached your mind, as it were, the call is then to apply your heart to understanding. It's don't just let these words float around and bump each side of your head like an old computer screensaver, but it's applying your heart to the things that have been said, putting into practice what is taught. Let these words of wisdom sink down from your mind, from your ears, down into your heart. Let them control you. Let them shape you. Look at verse 3. He tells his son to call out for insight, to cry aloud for it. He's to ask for wisdom. Verse 4, he's told to look and to search. He says, wisdom is priceless. It's worth striving for. See, this isn't the same as losing your car keys and trying to find them again. He said, this is profound. We're talking about treasure here. Now, let me ask you a question, and you need to be honest. Does anyone here ever go out and about with a metal detector looking for treasure? Any takers? Is that your hand up, Simon, or is that just scratching you? He's scratching his head. Okay. Well, you don't have to confess now, but just to encourage you, I don't know if you spotted in the news recently, there was a story a few weeks ago about a couple who found not one, but over 2,500 coins dating back to 1066. And they were in Somerset, it wasn't quite Enfield, but there we go. And reportedly, it was worth over 5 million in total. Originally, I had just £5 down, I had to add the M. £5 wouldn't have been very impressive, but 5 million's a lot of money. That's how much these coins are worth. But just think of these people, this couple, as they're walking around, they're looking for treasure. Just think, in the moments before finding that treasure, they're probably growing more tired, they've been out for a bit, it's getting darker, and then, boop, or whatever noise it makes, I don't know. All of a sudden, they find this one coin, and you think, wow, look what we found. This is something really ancient, something really old. And it must have filled them with energy and kind of excitement to keep going. You see, it would have been strange, wouldn't it, if they'd found this coin and just thought, oh, that's great, should we go home? And then they just walked off home. No, having found some treasure, it gave them a greater hunger to carry on digging, to search more thoroughly for more treasure. And I think this picture helps us, since the wise king encourages his son to do the same. He says, search for wisdom, son. Search. Dig to the depths. And then when you've found some, and when you think you're at the end, just keep digging. See, wisdom is an endless supply of treasure to be found. So keep turning your ear to it. Keep asking for it. Search for wisdom. Now, the answer to why should he search for wisdom, has kind of been answered, but look again at verse 5. Because once he's done those things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This path of searching leads to understanding the fear of the Lord, which, as we read in chapter 1, verse 7, is the beginning of wisdom. Now, you might be thinking, that sounds like a lot of work. Perhaps you're tired from just thinking about pursuing something that intensely, particularly because when people go on a search and rescue mission or when they go out with their metal detectors, you're not always going to find something. In fact, most of the time you go out with your metal detector, I imagine you won't find anything but Coke cans. So what makes this different? What makes searching for wisdom so valuable and so good? What's the success rate? Well, the wise king calls his son, and by extension all of us here, to search for wisdom, because when you do, we're told that you're going to make an amazing discovery. And that's in verse 6. Just have a look down at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He says, son, search for wisdom because you will be given it. Wisdom is a gift from God. See, think of the king who wrote these words down, King Solomon. He knows this truth only too well, doesn't he? He asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and he was the wisest king to have lived before Jesus. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking, well, if God gives wisdom, if it's a gift, then why do we need to work so hard for it? And that's a good question if you were thinking that. Well done. But I think the big point here is that true wisdom is found only in God. That's as we search for it, we realize that true wisdom is found only in God, and we need to ask for it. We need to ask for wisdom because we're naturally unwise, and we need to be taught it. We need to turn our ear away from what our world says and to his words and apply his teaching to our hearts, knowing that our daily search for wisdom will be satisfied as we come to the Lord and listen to his word. And I'm stressing his word. Just look at verse 6 again so I can show you where it's from. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. See, here in Proverbs, it's from the Lord's spoken words that wisdom is revealed. It's from his breath that wisdom is witnessed. And right now, this wisdom is on your laps. By that, I mean Bibles. If you've got other things on your laps like sweets or diaries, I'm not referring to that. It's Bibles. It's God's word. But as we search the pages of Scripture, we're in effect treasure hunting. That's what we're doing. We're searching for wisdom. And as we listen to this wisdom, and as we humbly come to God's word, he will begin to fill us up with knowledge that will save us eternally and instruct us on how we are to live a rewarding and pleasing life in the world that he's made. Just listen to these words from Colossians chapter 2. Paul is speaking and he says, "My goal is that they may encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus is, as it were, the great treasure chest to dive into. He's filled with all wisdom and knowledge. Where else are you going to go or turn to look for wisdom? See, Google doesn't have all the answers. Your neighbor won't have all the answers. Come to Jesus, the treasure chest of wisdom. Just think of those awesome words and that the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock," just to wake you up, "and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Search for wisdom, because you will find it. It's not out of reach. Our gracious God and King gives wisdom to all who persist in searching for it. Wisdom of how to be saved. Wisdom of how to do life. And if you're new to church or wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, then know that this path to wisdom starts here. It's in coming to God and asking for it. It's by searching the treasures of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. Learning that we are sinners in need of a Savior, in need of instruction of how to do life in his world. And you'll discover too that the wisdom that God gives might sound foolishness or is foolishness to the world out there, but it's true wisdom. So think only of the cross. The cross of Jesus is foolishness if you don't believe in it. And yet if you believe in the cross of Jesus to take away your sin and for forgiveness, then it's the greatest treasure there is, isn't it? Now, I've mentioned a few reasons why we need to search for wisdom, but for the rest of our time, I wanted us to see how this will affect our everyday as we seek to walk good paths the Lord has for us and to avoid the evil paths that may trip us up. So, search for wisdom, because firstly, it will guard your path. I wonder if you're like me. I hate asking for directions. Is anyone else like me? Anyone else hate asking for directions? To be fair, if you don't like asking for directions, you're unlikely to put your hand up if I ask you that. I think I'd actually prefer to walk around and wander and get lost for a bit than ask for directions. And until we get to that point where you kind of humble yourself and think, I better ask someone. And then even then when they tell me, I'm still thinking, I'm not. Are you right? I'm not sure. And I often doubt. There was one time where I wandered enough to realize that the directions that someone gave me later on were actually wrong. So I'd wandered so much and got lost so many times that when I'd asked the directions and he said, go down there, I was thinking, this is an awkward moment. And you have that kind of British awkwardness of thinking, well, how far do I need to walk down this road knowing it's the wrong direction before I can ask someone else? Because he's sitting there going, is he gonna follow my directions? Hopefully you're more holy than I am. But the wisdom given by God in his word isn't to be ignored or mistrusted, because it will guard your path. It's from the greatest fountain of knowledge, because it's from our Creator. And so we're called to lap up what he says in his word and apply it and to live it out. That's what verse 7 to 9 is showing us. See, the wisdom of the Lord through his word will keep you on the right track in life. Just take a moment, just glance over 7 to 9. I won't read it, but just have a glance over it. Do you see the wise way holds success? That's what verse 7 is teaching us. And protection in verse 8. And ultimately it leads to every good path in verse 9. It sounds good, doesn't it? And notice here how it's this given wisdom that provides understanding of what is right and just and fair. But again, this is more than just head knowledge. Look at verse 10. He says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." This understanding is useless. This wisdom is kind of useless if it just stays in the mind. It's as it filters into the heart that it shapes us and molds us to live pleasing lives to God, lives that are good and lives that draw others to God's wisdom. So what might that look like in practice? Well, as you read God's word, as you search the bottomless treasure that is our Lord Jesus, well, his word will teach you what is good and what is wrong. His word will rebuke you and put the finger on the parts of life which need to change. His word will correct you and show you the best way to live. And his word will train you in righteousness, meaning that this journey is an ongoing one. You'll see growth. You'll make mistakes. But the more time you spend searching and mining for treasures in Christ, in his words, the more you'll be shaped into his likeness and walk the good paths. And those good paths aren't the same as the easiest paths, but they're paths that lead to a purposeful life and to a perfect life one day in the new creation. So what we're called to do, search for wisdom. And wisdom will be given to you. That's the encouragement we have from these verses. And it will guard your path. So this really comes under our first object as well. Our first word, search. Who can remember the second word, just to make sure you're still with me?
Rescue,
fantastic. Rescue, or this rubber ring. And that's because, as we search for wisdom, it will guard your path, but it will save you from wayward walking. And in particular, from two dangers that you will face along the road. So as you look down to the last part of our passage, just look at the top of verse 12 and verse 16, because there's a repeated phrase. It says, wisdom will save you from... And firstly, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, and then secondly, from the adulterous woman. There are two dangers here. Now, if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, I would thoroughly recommend it. And if reading's not really your thing, come and speak to me, because I've got a great kids' version which has got amazing pictures, and it's much shorter. So let me know if that helps. But at one point in this story, Christian, who's the kind of main character, and his friend Hopeful, they're on their way to the celestial city, which is a picture of heaven. And on the way, they have this kind of rest by the pleasant river, and then they plan to continue their journey. But as they do, they're kind of saddened, they get a bit weary, the road's a bit tough, their feet start to drag, they're getting really tired. They long for a kind of better road to walk down. And then soon as they're going along, they're getting really tired, they look, and just next to the good path, just next to it, is this kind of more pleasant-looking field, this meadow. And it seems to promise much relief. And the best thing about the path is it seems to go along the same kind of track as the good path. So Christian encourages his friend Hopeful and says, look, let's jump over the stile, and they start walking down this other path. And they think, look, we can still see the good path, we're still going the right way, it's not a problem. But the issue is, as they travel along, it soon gets dark, they soon get lost, and they get into trouble. They've taken their eyes off the good path. And I think this is a helpful picture for us. As we walk along the good paths, as it were, one of the biggest dangers that we can face in the Christian life is complacency, when we think we're doing pretty well, when we think we're okay just to kind of just do it slightly differently. But in our growing confidence, when we think we could just walk alongside the good path, just change it slightly perhaps, there's massive danger. It's at this point that we start to tune out of what God's wisdom says, and we lose sight of the warnings and the dangers of wayward walking. And the first wayward path that we come across in our passage is described in verse 12 to 15. Let me just read and I'll make a couple of comments as we go. So danger one, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths. They've gone over the stile themselves, and they're kind of encouraging others to walk dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. So that word perverse has come up twice. It means a deliberate desire to behave wrongly. That's what it's talking about. Their paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. Now let me read the second one and see if you can spot any similarities between the two. So path 2, verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. And I guess really here, one of the real strong emphases here is that this road ends in death, go to the paths down to the spirits of the dead. This is not a good ending for going down this wayward path. Now, it might seem obvious when we read this, but I want you to notice and compare. I wondered if you spotted it as I read through both of those accounts, because there's a similarity between the two, and it's how these dangers come. So look at verse 12. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Verse 16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. So it's not just God's wisdom that comes to us in words. Like chapter 1, there are competing voices that are wrong. And more than that, the words of the adulterous woman are described as seductive. They entice. They sound good, perhaps, to our ears. If you're familiar with kind of Greek mythology, it's like the sirens who sing beautifully to kind of draw sailors towards the rocks and to their death. These seductive words are used to entice the believer, as it were, towards the wrong path and to seek to shipwreck their faith. So how are we going to avoid these dangers, this kind of wayward walking? Well, again, we've already seen the answer, haven't we? It's searching for wisdom and receiving wisdom that not only fills our heads, but also our hearts. That's why verse 10 and 11, I think, are so significant here, because it's as God's wisdom takes control of our lives, as his wisdom teaches us and becomes increasingly pleasant to us, that seductive evil will become more and more alien to us as we see it for what it is, as we see it for the evil that it is and for the path of destruction that it ends up in. Let me just give you a couple of examples just to hopefully helpfully illustrate that. So my wife and I, Rach, we love watching films. And I distinctly remember a few years ago, we grabbed a film from our joint collection to watch. Now, I'd seen this film quite a few times when I was at uni. It's a comedy. I won't tell you the name of it. You can ask me later if you want to know. And we put it on, got the popcorn out, and started to watch it. And I reckon it was about 5, maybe 6 minutes into the film, we turned it off, because it was full of bad language and sexual innuendo, etc., etc. And I was genuinely shocked. I was thinking, Rach, how on earth have we got this DVD still on our shelf? But obviously, once I thought it was okay, and we watched it again, I was kind of in horror, thinking, how on earth have we owned this DVD? When I was a teacher, I got invited to play football for my mate's team. And when I got in the car, he picked me up. There's about 5 lads in the car. And straight away, the language was just completely different from having worked in a church for a year. It's very different what they're talking about. And bibbing at the girls as we're going by, talking about really inappropriate things. And I was sitting there really kind of embarrassed. I didn't know what to say. Now, these stories, I'm not kind of trying to promote, like, oh, well done, Tim, or anything like that. But it's just to show you that actually, as we spend time with God's word, as it takes control of us, then actually things that are acceptable to our world, we'll start to see as actually that's not okay. As you grow as followers of Jesus, you will be more sensitive to sin that others around us just are really unaware of. And so I tell particularly that second story, not in light of condemning my friends, but actually just as we need to pray for them, that they would come and know true wisdom, that they'd be saved. As we search for wisdom and are given it by a gracious God, we will become more aware of what is right and just and fair. Things that don't trouble our world will be a problem to us. And it's this growing sensitivity that will inform and guard our path, the good paths to follow and the evil paths to avoid. Our time's drawing up for this, but What were the two words that will help you understand Proverbs 2?
Search.
Fantastic. I hope you're encouraged this evening to start searching or to continue searching for wisdom with the comfort that as you do, as you, as it were, dive into God's word, then you will receive it. You will find wisdom. Wisdom that will rescue you. Wisdom that will save you. Not just in the present life, not just guarding us now, but for the life to come. You see, I hope as we read the chapter and as we kind of have been working our way through it, I hope you've seen the promises that this chapter gives. Because there's, I didn't actually count how many there were, but there's so many wills in this chapter. So wisdom will save you, for example. But just look at the last three verses and we'll end here. Listen to the promise as we search for wisdom, as we let it take hold of us and shape us. Verse 20. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Search and rescue. Search for wisdom. It will guard your path and it will save you from wayward walking. And let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, we pray this evening that we would be those who continue or start to search for true wisdom. That we would be more and more shaped by your wisdom and your word than anything else. We thank you so much that you freely give us wisdom, that you've revealed to many here of the cross of Jesus, the most foolish thing to our world, but the wisest thing in your sovereign plan of bringing sinners like us back to you. Father, please, would we grow in our wisdom? Would we grow wise? Not that we may puff up in knowledge, but that we would be instructed and that our hearts would be molded more to the likeness of Jesus. That we would be recognized as wise because of what you've done for us. And that would draw others to your wisdom. Father, please hear our prayer. Please forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.